Welcome to the Midday. Our special guests for today are the San Francisco Piano Trio, and they consist of pianist Jeffrey Sykes and cellist Jean-Michel Fortenu, and then the violinist Axel Strauss. Welcome, one and all.
Great. Thanks to be
here. And you couldn't hear them because they're way over there. There will be a little bit of commuting done in order to have a conversation with them today, so if you'll just bear with me and them for a few seconds from time to time, we'll make that happen. And also we have some, what shall we say, last-minute technical excitement to work with here, so you may hear an unusual amount of kind of banging around and, we hope, no untoward language. Well, I'm going to work my way over here with this wireless mic, and we hope that will work, and then we'll hear some music before too long. We'll start with a question for you, though, Jeffrey. And so what's the relationship between the San Francisco Piano Trio and the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society?
Well, the relationship right now is that Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society, we're in our 20th season, and we invited – Stephanie and I invited the San Francisco Piano Trio to come and be guests at our festival for part of the 20th season. Of course, it's a kind of a self-serving invitation because I'm part of the San Francisco Piano Trio. But we wanted to make a really special, have a really special 20th season. And these guys are great guys and they're wonderful chamber musicians. And we love playing together. The trio rep is so fantastic and beautiful. We really wanted to feature it in our 20th season.
And there's an awful lot of it, too. And when you mentioned Stephanie, that would be the person who's behind you all the way, including today. She's right behind you. Stephanie Jutt and you are the two co-founders of the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society.
That's right,
Stephanie. And the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society plays primarily, if not exclusively, a summer series.
Right. We have a three-week summer series that we produce in Madison, in Spring Green, and in Stoughton. So this year we have, this is our third week of our three-week season, our final weekend of our three-week season. And tonight we have a concert in Stoughton, then tomorrow night here in Madison at the Overture Center, and Sunday at Taliesin we have two performances.
So the members of the San Francisco Piano Trio, you're pretty much a permanent ongoing rather than an ad hoc organization. You're all working in San Francisco primarily?
Absolutely.
Axel?
Yes, we are. We all live in the Bay Area. So Michelle and I teach at the conservatory in San Francisco. And so we're all in the same vicinity. And so, yeah, we're year-round 24-7.
Well, it's nice to have a piano trio on call. You never know when you might need one. But and so, Jean-Michel, where do you hail from originally and what brought you to San Francisco?
Oh, you want the long story or the short story? But I'm from France. I was in Lyon before. I was part of a string quartet over there, which was called Ravel String Quartet, and moved to San Francisco for love. My wife and I were a long-distance relationship for about 4 years, and I happened to get the job at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music in 1999, and I was happy and able to move to San Francisco at that time.
Well, you know, music is wonderful. Classical music, of course, is arguably the best, but you're never that far away from those stories, you know, about love. I mean, there's a lot of that behind a lot of the music. And so I'm not surprised to hear your story. And you mentioned, the Ravel Conservatory. You're actually going to start with some Ravel today, right?
Did I get Brahms, that? Actually.
You're going to hear some Brahms, some Ravel later on. And I imagine that you're very busy in San Francisco, then. There's so much music there. You play how many concerts a year in San Francisco?
Well, I mean, certainly individually we play a zillion. It seems, you know, we're always working around our schedules to find the time to rehearse and do our own things. But as a trio, I'd say, I don't know, a dozen or so in a year, a dozen or so concerts in a year.
Well, all right. So as long as you mentioned Brahms, I guess we better start with him as our headliner then. And Brahms wrote how many piano trios? Not that many, really, but they're kind of monumental, aren't they?
They're three piano trios. In a certain way, they're kind of are four, because the first trio is also the last trio. The trio in B major, Opus 8, was originally written in, I think it was 1854.
Oh, when Brahms was about 21,
a wee lad. And he revisited it. It was actually one of his most popular pieces during his lifetime. And he revisited it towards the end of his life and completely rewrote it. It's one of the best examples, one of the greatest examples of detachment towards one's own work. I mean, he was just unsparing in his criticism and his revision of his early work, which was beloved by many. So we're playing the revised version of the.
This will be the first movement.
And first movement.
What about it? What about it attracts you, Axel?
What I find amazing in this piece is the youthful energy that he was able to preserve that was in the piece to begin with when he wrote it first, and then at the same time the mature sort of proportioning and balancing of all the elements. You know, you get the best of both worlds, and that's just fascinating.
And Jean-Michel, what's in it for a cellist?
Well, first of all, the beginning, because we get to start just right, almost like after a couple of bars, but the lushness of the sound mostly, and the fact that the sound of the trio is so rich, just gorgeous.
All right, more about these instruments later. They look certainly as if they have a patina worthy of the Brahms. At least the two stringed instruments, the piano. Well, that's our Mason and Hamlin reliable here in our studio. But we'll start then. This is the first movement of the Brahms Piano Trio. And I hope you're applauding out there, too. That was the first movement, aptly named Allegro con Brio, of the Piano Trio in B, Opus 8, by a 21-year-old Brahms, who then, many years later, went back and revised it considerably for the effect that you just heard. In that performance from the San Francisco Piano Trio, consisting of pianist Jeffrey Sykes and violinist Axel Strauss and cellist Jean-Michel Fontenot. And if you want to hear the whole thing, you can hear it in a couple of concerts, actually, upcoming with the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society on June 25th. That'll be tomorrow night, and June 26th. They'll be playing that trio at the Playhouse in the Overture Center in Madison tomorrow night at 7:30, and then at the Hillside Theater at Taliesin in Spring Green Sunday evening at 6:30. In a moment, we'll have our 12:30 quiz question a little early, and we'll repeat it at about 12:40 or so, all coming shortly here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, I've mentioned Ravel. Now I'm going to switch over here and find out about Maurice Ravel, who I always think of as a phenomenal orchestrator. But here we're talking chamber music. So I'll ask you, Jean-Michel, to since you're the one who mentioned Ravel earlier, you seem to have something in common with him. what do you find in chamber music by Ravel in particular, this piece?
Well, this one in particular is actually using the piano trio as more than three instruments. He's actually using it as an orchestra and finding different colors in all three instruments very, very differently. Like, we're not going to play it today, but the last movement especially is definitely of orchestral proportions, definitely.
How do you accomplish orchestral proportions with three instruments? Everybody plays more notes, they play louder, or they do both? What do they do, make more faces?
That's right. A lot of faces, move the head. And definitely is using mostly, it's really in the piano that all of that is happening, but certainly with the strings, a lot more notes, double stops, chords, using the cello in unusual places, really high sometimes, so that it imitates another instrument, sometimes just the violin.
What does that sound like, that cello, the high? Can you do that?
What
Well, it's great to hear that isolated, because it's a sound I wouldn't associate it with a Ravel. It sounds almost at times like little, like Dvorak or something, that quality.
There's also some of, I mean, in the movement that we're going to play, he's using music from where he was born. He was born southwest of France, near Biarritz, near Spain. And some of the rhythms that he's using, and this music and other musics also, have very, very specific folk tunes to them. And this one has a kind of an interesting lilt to it. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. In one of his letters, is that he was actually mentioning just to learn the rhythm would be interesting to sing it more like ta-ma-ma, ta-ma, ta-ma-ma, like that. And it's kind of nice.
And that's in the movement we'll get to hear today. And as far as the violin's concerned, Axel, what do you find in Ravel? Of course, he wrote some spectacular violin music, like, you know, the Tzigan, for example, where the violin carries the whole thing for the first half of it before the orchestra comes in. What do you find in this trio?
Well, Ravel's motto always seems to have been to push the limits of the performers to the maximum. And so you essentially need a three-armed pianist to play this piece.
We'll be watching closely, Jeffrey.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's true. There's a lot to play for each instrument. And because you, as you said, you know, he was a great orchestrator, and this is true, as Jean-Michel said, in this trio as well. There's a lot of orchestration going on despite only having three instruments. And he's able to come up with sound effects. He uses harmonics and things that you wouldn't ordinarily combine, certain sounds that you wouldn't ordinarily combine, and pedaling effects in the piano. And Jeffrey seems to be on all sides of the keyboard at the same time. I don't know how that works, but it looks sometimes like in The Matrix or something. But it's an amazing piece of music, and we think that it is one of Ravel's best works, and he had high standards, Ravel did.
Here we go, the first movement, piano trio by Maurice Ravel. First movement of the 1914 piano trio by Maurice Ravel. And if you want to hear that whole piece, you can hear it along with works by Johann Sebastian Bach, Camille Saint-Saëns, Claude Debussy, and another composer we'll get to later in a concert tonight with the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society playing in the Stoughton Opera House. That's tonight at 7:30, and then on Sunday evening, or Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in the Hillside Theater, Taliesin Spring Green, a concert that will include Ravel and a number of other things just mentioned. Well, we go from Ravel to a composer who really seems to, is it my imagination, or in the last, 20 years or so, have the works of Astor Piazzolla just really taken off? Do you have an opinion, Axel?
Yes, they have, and he would be delighted to see it, because he was, I think that was one of his biggest disappointments in his lifetime, that he was never understood while he was alive, you know, what his music really meant, because he did put the tango on the map in a very different way. He took it out of the ballroom and took it basically into the streets, and he depicts you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly in his tangos, and so it's a huge range, emotional range, and he's not afraid to go to the atonal, and you know, he incorporates modern language as Stravinsky and Bartok and things like that into his music, and it took a while for people to sort of integrate that with, you know, and associate that with tango, but these days I think people more and more understand what it's about.
Now, he wrote a lot for his instrument was the bandoneon.
That's right.
But then also he did write for what we'd call more traditional classical ensembles too?
He did, yeah. People of his band, for example, the violinist, he arranged a lot of the works for more classical ensembles. So there are piano trio versions, originals. That what we're playing is actually originally a piece for cello and piano, the Grand Tango. It was written for Mstislav Rostropovich. And we thought that it would be interesting to add another color to it and to shorten it a little bit. And we think that it works really well in this arrangement.
The Grand Tango by Astor Piazzolla, with arrangement by our guests today, the San Francisco Piano Trio, originally for cello and piano, and the violin part enhances it considerably. Nice to hear from all three of your members during that performance of the Grand Tango, and there will be Piazzolla on the program tonight and also Sunday afternoon, when the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society performs, including the San Francisco Piano Trio. Thanks, one and all, for being with us here for the midday today.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to have you. And for further information about the Bach Dancing and Dynamite Society and their concerts, you can go to their website, the name of which is pretty easy to remember because it's bachdancinganddynamite.org.